In the greeting of the Lord's Apostle John, his first epistle, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. That word of life comes to us in the fifth chapter of John's first epistle. It's 1 John 5, verses 5 through 12. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of our gracious God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, dear loved ones of God. Driving across Minnesota and Iowa these past few days, little towns here and there, cemeteries and parks all lined with flags, because it's Memorial Day weekend, and it's a time to remember. It's a time to remember those who with their lives have paid for the privilege and the freedom that we're enjoying here now, that we can come together and worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience without fear that someone will break in and arrest all of you and take the leaders off to prison, as has happened in many countries, or that you would have to fear that on your way home someone would be shooting at you because you stopped to worship God. Those freedoms still belong to ours today, to us today, and we thank God for that blessing, for those who have guaranteed and paid for this wonderful blessing of freedom, which you know is not free. Memorial Day is a good time in gratitude to look back and thank God for these blessings. But you know, people also remember on Memorial Day things with sadness. It's not just the loss of loved ones, but as soon as you start to remember, you start to look back. That's not always a pleasant thing. When you're in your teen years and you're just starting out and you're looking at your life ahead of you, there are a lot of dreams. You get all the education you can, and you start chasing those dreams with all the energy of youth. But before too long, reality sets in. I'll never forget when my kids first started to have to pay taxes, and all they were upset, someone was taking money out of their paycheck, and we had to remind them, you know, this is what we've talked about to you. This is the reality. This is responsibility. And before too long, before you know it, there's more of life in your rearview mirror than there is out in front of you. And then the memories can start to get painful, and the questions can start to flood your soul, because you start to ask yourself, what about those decisions I made in the past? Did I go the right way? What if? The coulda, woulda, shoulda, you know? What if? Did I pursue all my goals? Did I reach all my goals? And does it really matter in the end? Remember a few years ago, somebody came up with that great slogan and plastered it all over the signs along the highway? Got milk? Better question for us today is, got life? The Lord wants to bring us into His counsel today and reveal to us the answer to that question so that all of us can go home with this comfort and peace on our hearts to say, got life? Yes! I got life. Because God gave me His life in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. When you know Jesus, you know peace. Looking back was interesting these past few days. I was privileged to go with my better half to Handworks, premier woodworkers from all over the country. Guys that are written up in the magazines that own the companies that invent the tools. And one of the things that struck me was that I enjoyed talking to these individuals more than I really enjoyed looking at the tools. And one of the things that, I guess, you know, being a grandpa, and more in my rearview mirror than out front too, these guys are about the same age as I am. It was like looking in a looking glass of where I would be today if I had followed my dreams of being a cabinet maker instead of studying for the ministry. Just an interesting way to look at things. And an interesting opportunity for the Lord to convince me again, I have no regrets for the way God led my life. Talking to one owner of a company, he started to ask me questions about what I did, and of course I tell him I'm a pastor, and then they have other questions. Woodworkers are a strange lot, and they'll tell you that. They work so much with their hands, and there's so much of feeling in what they do or what they produce, like any artist, you know. You're an artist in wood. And yet the philosophy of life eventually gets in there. And it works, and guys have written books on this, that their philosophy of life. So one man, an owner of a company, started asking me questions, found out I was a pastor, had more questions that basically had to do with working with people and their problems. And he wondered, how do you deal with the problems? How do you ever have time for woodworking when there's so many problems that people have? Don't ever miss an opportunity. I told him, your soul is like a battery. When you charge up the battery, it's like those handheld tools. When the battery is charged up, you can drive the screws or cut the wood. It just works. And when you practice your life as a Christian with these preemptive strikes of charging up the battery, you've got the power to go through these problems, like Paul said in Romans chapter 5, so that you're actually developing perseverance and character, God, in all of your life. You know, his eyes are starting to glaze over a little by that time. So he's asking more questions, though, and you know, just trying to get at the nub of this. And I finally told him about when I had my business going, when I was at seminary and making things for people, and a woman walked in and looked at my showcase, and she got all excited, and she's going on, and I told this owner of this company, I felt like getting out a shovel, you know. She, just gushing all this stuff. She said to me, "Don't you think you could inspire so many people if you would just go and make these things for people?" And finally I said, "Ma'am, I don't mean to be disrespectful or rude, but all of this is going to burn up. In the end, nothing is going to matter except whether or not you trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you know the grace that He came to give you in the forgiveness of sins. None of the rest of this will matter." That's what I mean. You get to the end of your life and you look back and you say, "Did I reach all my goals?" What does it matter in the end for most people? It's not where you go or what you do or what your job is or what your portfolio amounts to, whether or not you were popular in school, whether anybody cared. The psalmist says in one place, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. That's the beauty of knowing the triune God and what he did in sending Jesus. And it's what the Lord's apostle John, the disciple of love, is trying to get through to us with here. The Holy Spirit says, who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You cannot overcome the world unless you trust in Jesus as the Savior who came not just to bleed and die on the cross. That's just history. But did he bleed and die for you? Do you trust that your sins are washed away? Because that's what God says. Trust him or you're calling God a liar. Did you hear it? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies because the Spirit is the truth. Truth is not what we get to make up, decide how we want it to be. Truth is what God says is truth. It's an objective fact. This is what I find strange when you talk about these really philosophical people, like one director in a college where my older brother went, and I was telling her these things too about Jesus, and she looked at me and gave me that condescending, well, that's good for you, see. And that's what this owner of this company said as our conversation went on to other things that you can touch and feel. That's an interesting perspective, he says. It's not just perspective. It's the way God looks at things and the only way that it's all going to matter in the end. It's the fact that the Lord has this testimony that he gave by water and the blood. Now you may be puzzled over that. What does that mean, came by water and the blood? We accept. He says, there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is a testimony of God, which he has given us about his Son. What's the water? What's the blood? You know where the water was. Jesus stood in that water with John the Baptizer. And the Father's voice boomed from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He's going to be shamed by the world and crucified like a criminal, but God owns him as his own son and loves him dearly because the Heavenly Father wanted you and I to spend eternity with him forever in heaven. He wants that for all people. Still today, God still wants everybody to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God's truth. So Jesus stood in the water, it was put on him, the Father's voice booming from heaven, the Holy Spirit coming in the form of a dove, and all those dusty roads of life that Jesus walked finally led him on that rescue mission to that gory hill where they nailed him to the cursed tree. And the blood that he shed, the Bible says, cleanses us all from all sin so that we no longer need to have that guilt. He said he washed it all away. You wake up at night and you think my friends don't like me in school, or my parents are upset with me, or I'm mad at my parents. Or you look back on your life at something you said or did to your parents. Words that you left undone that you should have spoken. Sometimes we look back on lonely times in our lives and we have to admit we caused them because we were just so selfish. But the Spirit, the water, and the blood still testifies. Whenever we come into the Lord's house and he gives us that blessing, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you were under that water too. That water was put on us in the name of the triune God to make us his own. And whenever he invites us and we come by that invitation to receive his body and blood in the Holy Sacrament, that blood is ours again. And the Holy Spirit is there testifying in the means of grace, the gospel in word and sacrament, that we belong to him. It's like God is putting the testimony here on our finger, two rings. All of God's promises are in the engagement ring. We're wearing that now that God has promised us eternal life in Jesus Christ, his Son, and he is absolutely certain about this. And in our baptism, he puts the other ring on our finger, the wedding ring. Because then each of us can say, I am his and he is mine, What can I want beside? No regrets. No fear. Because God says, fear not. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, they will not sweep over you. When you pass through the rivers, you will not be drowned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Redeemer. You trust in God, you know Jesus, and you know peace. And if you have no Jesus, you have no peace. The ditches of life are filled with the carcasses and wreckage of those who decided they would try to live life without God. Many of these people are very famous. Some of them you've known in your life, relatives perhaps, that you tried to share God's truth with them and they just wouldn't listen. They kept struggling and trying their own way. People are like the driver on the road who just is so determined to ignore all the signs because whoever put them up doesn't know what he's talking about. This curve here that says 20 miles an hour, I bet I can do that at 80. Or just ignore. Or this lane thing where I'm supposed to stay over here, or in Britain, I mean over here. They go down the highway, and God is flashing his lights in his Ten Commandments. But they're just ignoring everything. I can drive wherever I want. I can do whatever I want. And they're facing off with God Almighty. And then they want to blame God when he gave all the warnings. Through this apostle of love, the Lord says, anyone who believes in the Son has this testimony in his heart. No Jesus, no peace. But anyone who does not believe in God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given about his Son. Ignoring the signs saying, I can drive wherever I want, however I want, as fast as I want. I can say what I want. I have freedom of speech. We thank God for those freedoms in our country, but when it comes to God's courtroom, every idle word the Lord says will be punished. Every sinful deed must be punished. Every undone good thing that you failed to do is a sin that God says must be punished. And God wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's the truth. God sent his Son to pay the guilt of all of our sin, to wash it away with his holy precious blood, to put his name on us in our baptism, to make us his own. God wants you for his friend. He wants you for his soul lover. He wants you for the beating of your heart to beat next to his. He wants you to wake up in the morning and know that today also God's face is smiling toward you. And that when you put your head on your pillow at night, he who never slumbers and never sleeps will be watching over you. He wants to, in his word, do as I remember with one of my daughters. She just responded so well to this when I would hold her head in my hands and just talk to her quietly like this. That's how the Heavenly Father wants to talk to us. He focuses us. He reaches us deep down in our soul. But he also warns us. Don't turn away from this. He says, anyone who does not believe that God is in God has made him out to be a liar, because he's not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. You can line up all the world's religions and many Christian pastors too that will tell you there is no hell. That series that maybe helped get a lot of people into the Bible recently, called The Bible. I hope it made people read the Bible. But the producers of that series made it sound like there is no hell. There is no real damnation. And the Lord God keeps saying, then why did my Son have to die? If your sin is not so bad, why would it take the blood of God's own Son to wash it all away? And why would you turn away from a loving God who wants you so bad that his son would suffer that kind of torment and that kind of agony to make you his own. And the Holy Spirit still working, still coming, still trying to turn people back to God's truth. Ever since Jesus ascended to God's right hand and Pentecost came, the Father and the Son are sending the Holy Spirit in word and sacrament to testify to our hearts that all this is real. This is true. Those ditches where the wreckage is left of people's lives who opposed God or turned away in unbelief from his salvation, those ditches all flow into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. And God says it's real, the eternal hell, the second death. It was designed for the devil and all his angels. It was not designed for people. And that's why God is still calling out to us today. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You remember how many places there are in a yoke? There's always two. The Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, triune God in one, and you in the other. He's pulling with us, saying, come this way. Follow me. Follow Jesus so that you realize he is not talking in what you need to do or have to do in order to make this true. He says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. He says it so simply in those two stipulations of this one thing, this testimony that God has given us. God has given us eternal life, that's one, and this life is in his Son. How much more simple could the Lord make it? Trust in the Lord Jesus, and he will guide your life so that you can look back on this earth and say, that really is only a drop of water in the sea of eternity. All that really matters in the end is, do you trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And trusting him, you know a peace in your heart that nobody needs to explain to you. A peace that grows. A peace that goes beyond that one sister songwriter who said, we've only just begun. And then lived life without this comfort and this peace and died in sorrow. We've only just begun as Christians too. But where God is leading us, there are wide open spaces with plenty of room to grow. Bought and paid for with the blood of God's own Son and guaranteed by the dear Holy Spirit. Let him put his rings on your finger again today. That assurance. And know that in your heart of hearts, God will continue to give you peace. Amen.